Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Officer for the Farmington Police Department, and I always have with me Chief Heavy. Let's go on vacation.
I'm Chief Heavy, Police Chief for City of Farmington.
I mean, I wish that that's how peppy and bright you were every day. Then maybe I wouldn't need coffee.
Yeah, trust me, it's not. But I'm trying. I'm working with Nicole to, you know, kind of lift up my game a little
bit. That's right, and be just happy. And
that's right.
Go lucky.
That's me, really. Describes me with tea.
Well, today, it's not just me and you.
No.
I am so excited.
And now the anger starts.
No, I'm so excited that we're, I mean, even though we have stepped back a little bit as a county, we're back in yellow, but things are, you know, looking up. People are getting vaccinated. And so we have a guest with us today. We have Andrea with from Child Heaven Foundation with us today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me here. It's really good to see you. Just see you.
I know.
It's great to see you.
It's wonderful to be in person.
I completely agree.
I think we tried this remotely.
Oh my, yes.
It was a little rougher.
It was a little rougher.
So welcome to the mighty KSJE studio here.
It truly, truly is good to be here with you all.
So we last year when we tried this.
Yeah.
You guys were doing a fundraiser, and it was is it Child Abuse Awareness Month?
Yeah, it's Child Abuse Prevention Month. So that is national thing. And so for those who may not know, Child Haven has been in our community for 50 years, and we started as the emergency shelter. The need for that was seen when children needed to have a place to stay, whether their parents may have been incarcerated or whatnot. Kids were left on the streets, and they would actually stay at the police station. And so the need was great enough for them to establish a shelter, and that was on East Main Street. About 30 years later, they created the current shelter down on Apache Street. So we're kind of neighbors, I'd say.
Yeah, we're not far from each other.
Yeah, right on the street. And so in the 90s, they also added on programs, including what used to be called Safe House Interviews, and now they're called Forensic Interviews. And I am so excited that Dana Longinette, our director of the Children's Advocacy Center, will be joining us soon with that conversation. But that program allows us to work with you all, other law enforcement agencies and organizations, to make sure that we, as a whole, help children and families instead of having the kids have to tell their story over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. We are able to make that a little easier. So Dana will be able to comment on that a little more than I can.
Yeah,
I have so many things to say. Like I said, I haven't really seen people in a while. So
I might need to stretch this out to an hour long.
Right? I know. I've got plenty to say. But I should mention before we dive into that, with Child Abuse Prevention Month, we have a CASA volunteer program, and that training has moved online, so that can really happen anytime. We have a foster care program, and we're currently recruiting for foster parents. We're doing a training next week for that, just kind of an orientation or just information session. We have a therapy program, and we're taking clients for that now. So there's a lot of that to say. There's so much happening at Child Haven, and that's why it's so exciting for me to be here with you all to share about it. So
my wife is a CASA volunteer and has been for several years, and I think she finds it at times painful to see the kids up close and see what kids have gone through. Of course, we see it in law enforcement, but she's just, you know, trying to help. And then I think she also finds it very rewarding, you know, that she's going through the process, and you get to meet the kids and work with the kids, and then part of the and be part of the system that makes decisions on how are we going to protect the kids. So she takes that very seriously. If you have, you know, if you have that kind of an interest or a passion, I think CASA Volunteer is an excellent program.
Definitely, and that program specifically, if there weren't those CASA Volunteers, the CASA Volunteers allow the community to have a role, and we have incredible lawyers and judges and social workers on these cases, but they have so many cases that the CASAs are able to look at that child or that sibling group and advocate for their needs, and if they didn't do that, then who would? Mm-hmm. And so it really puts, instead of it being a case file of a child, it helps have that human interaction. Mm-hmm. And our community does a really good job of working together with that program too.
You know, and I've listened as she's been on her calls and then listened to some of the cases, and you can see where it becomes a machine. It becomes kind of a bureaucracy. And she's listening to it, but she's not part of it. So she'll talk with me, and even I feel like, well, no, okay, from your perspective, you're right, you know, but mm-hmm. when you're in the system, right. You know, it is about, okay, we've got lots of cases where we're continuing to push. So I like the program just from that perspective. Mm-hmm. It brings a little outside, hey, wait a minute, mm-hmm. you know, perspective to it that when you're actually on the treadmill, just rolling through the cases, I think it can be easy to lose that perspective.
Yeah.
So how does someone go about becoming a CASA volunteer?
So our website, childhavennm.org, provides links under programs for the CASA program. And I also mentioned foster care. We have a lot of good information there. And we have information on our Facebook page, whether the Child Haven Foundation Facebook page, also San Juan CASA Facebook page. In other words, we try our best to make sure that anyone who wants to know how to get information, they can just do a Google search. And
nice.
Hopefully... That'll land them to the
accessible.
Right page. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
So well, let's take it just a minute, because I'm dressed a little more casually. Scott's in a T-shirt and shorts today. That's unusual. Like, I might not have opted for that, but you're in a little T-shirt. We're kind of.
I am.
But Andrea has kind of stepped out, and she is showing her game.
She looks so
today.
Fabulous.
Oh, I know it.
I'm so excited to be here. Yeah. I've been in my house for about a year, and maybe go to Sam's Club every once in a while.
Dressed like that.
Well, you know, when you've got to go to Sam's Club, it's kind of the highlight of my week.
That's it.
So this was a little extra.
I love it. I love your earrings and your necklace.
Thank you.
You look gorgeous.
I appreciate that.
Have you seen Amy Schumer, when she went and got her COVID vaccine, wore like a ball gown, like she was going to an award show.
Oh, really?
And so it started this trend of like all these women are dressing up to go get their COVID vaccine. So they're like, this is a big deal. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean.
Well, any excuse for a party, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wow. And we have someone calling in. Is she about ready to call?
About a minute away from that. So Dana is calling in, and she's going to talk about the forensic interviews. And I guess we can kind of talk about when those are needed. Or
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We also have to. Yeah, we got to. Talk
oh, this
about
would be. Yeah, I can mention that now before Dana.
Yeah.
Dana calls. So we're still having to obviously live in COVID world, so we were hoping to do some type of socially distanced event, but it's just not the right timing. When we can do that, it's going to be incredible. So the More the Merrier has happened for 30 years, so we didn't want to just stop it. We do truly believe in this need to bring awareness to Child Abuse Prevention Month, and so we're launching the campaign now. And it will go through, you know, part of the summer, but in May, the 21st and 22nd, we're going to be doing a challenge walk to where people can, wherever they are, maybe they're at Sam's Club.
we know how they'll be dressed.
Right. It's just for them to walk with this in mind. I didn't bring the exact numbers, but even last year, and Dana, when we talked to her, can bring a little light to this. We know that child abuse reporting was down, mm-hmm. but even with that in our county, it was well over 1,000 cases that were reported even still. And so it's a huge need. And one thing we like to talk about is it's not only us bringing healing and justice, working with people like you all, we're also bringing hope to these families. So that's where us working together is so important, and to inform the community about that. It's not just Child Haven. It's just not the police departments. It's a lot of people working together.
I love that. That's exciting. So Dana's on the line, and we got to wear our headphones. Hi, Dana.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, this is Nicole. Chief Heavy is here.
And how are you?
Andrea is here.
Hey, Dana.
Hi,
thanks for joining us.
Hi, Andrea. Thank you for having me.
So I was just telling them in our introduction a little bit about who you are. So you're the Children's Advocacy Center Director, and you oversee a program that includes forensic interviews, family advocacy, parent education. And we were just talking about Child Abuse Prevention Month, and also the cases that, even though we knew that at a certain point, especially during the pandemic, cases were not being reported like we would anticipate, there was still a really high number of cases reported. Do you think you could talk to us a little bit about that, specifically with the pandemic, how that has impacted your program, the precautions you all have made, but how you're able to still continue with that?
Sure. So when the pandemic started, like Andrea said, the cases that were coming in, they were very low. We sometimes would have 30 cases a month, and it got down to maybe 10 cases a month, just because there was not any eyes on the children because they were not in school. So we were all really concerned about that. For the pandemic, we started doing what's called teleforensic interviews. That for the older children, the younger ones, we were still doing in person, and we would be in full PPE, masks, face shields, gloves, things like that. We also have the family with one caregiver that would come in with one child, and they're also required to wear masks. Law enforcement, they are able to watch the interview from our observation room, and then CYFD or social services, they also would watch it from a different room. That way we can all collaborate together and work together on these cases.
Can you also speak to that point specifically about how it is important for us to work together with different agencies, and maybe perhaps some of those agencies involved?
Sure. So, and maybe I'll just kind of talk about whenever we get a phone call from law enforcement, we call CYFD to see if they have a case. We also kind of give sexual assault services a heads up that we have a case coming in, that we will conduct the interview and then talk to them afterwards to see if the child will need a sexual assault exam, either an acute or a delayed exam.
So can you talk, Dana, a little bit about the training that the interviewers go through? Because that's going to be something that I'm sure you lived it, but law enforcement is generally pretty defensive of its turf. And when we have victims, we're going to be the ones who interview the victims. But in this case, we have collaborated with you. Our officers don't conduct the interviews. You have trained interviewers that do it while our officers watch.
Correct. So we go through a 40-hour forensic interview training, and after that training, we have to observe 50 live interviews, and then we have to do 3 mock interviews, and then after that, we can conduct an interview, but we have to have a more senior interviewer with a bug in their ear to kind of help them in case they get caught up on a question or something, because we're trained to do non-leading questions. And then after that, they're on their own, and then we still do 2 peer reviews a year. A lot of times we do more, and that way everyone, all the forensic interviewers in this state, we kind of get together and watch an interview and critique each other's work and say, maybe you should have asked a question like this, or no, you did fine, things like that, just to kind of help us keep us on our toes.
And Andrea kind of talked about it, but I mean, the goal of this is we're going to get the information that's required to figure out what's happening, whether it's criminal or whether it's just something that your agency or COIFD is going to wind up dealing with. But we're trying to do it in a way that doesn't continually force the victim to talk about the circumstances. So we get one good interview with everybody who's a player involved in the process, watching and being part of it, but trying to reduce the trauma to the child.
Correct, yes. And then also we have advocacy services, too, that are provided for the family, and our advocates stick with the family, help them with referrals, go to court if they need to. Sometimes they can be on the case for a year, 2 years, however long that they need some help.
Well, I want to just comment on how incredible it is for Child Haven to have a staff member like Dana. Dana is not only highly trained, an additional training that she has does deal with the human trafficking and exploitation of children issue. And Dana, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're one out of four or five in our entire state that is trained to do these interviews. And it's something that is not talked about enough. This is an issue here. You all would know that. But the child and human trafficking issues, it does happen in this area. And to have a staff member like Dana on the front lines of helping with that is incredible.
No, that's a huge thing for our area to have that.
Yes, it's actually another 40-hour training. And it's a completely different interviewing style because we know victims of child sex trafficking, they've gone through quite a bit, not that any other victim doesn't, but so it's good to have an extra kind of training under my belt.
So this is an important month, and one reason that we're highlighting your agency and the work that we do and the work that you do on behalf of children, but what is something that you'd like to tell the public about this issue here in San Juan County and about your need for assistance to help combat it?
Well, I just want the community to know it's child sexual abuse, physical abuse, neglect. It is out there. And right now, now that we are getting really, really busy because school is back in session, the cases that we're seeing are probably 10 times worse than what I have seen in the past. And I've been doing child abuse cases for about 14 years now. So I think services that we need, Andrea, can you kind of help me with that? But I would also like to say that we do offer therapy here, and it's telehealth therapy for all of our clients and families. So we do individual and family sessions here too.
Yeah, I'd love to just speak to what people can do. So first of all, obviously this is a hard and it's a heavy topic. And, you know, this is the work that Dana and I are involved in. Even still, when she says those things, it just really does, you know, it does touch your heart. But there are things that people can do. First of all, to the families that need help, we're here for you. We have services that we want to help. We realized during the pandemic, you know, having kids at home all the time, having to work from home with the kids, there are different behavioral and emotional needs that have come from that. We're here, and we want to help. Please go to our website, childhavennm.org, phone number 505-325-5358. We also have the avenue for people to show their support. So when we're running a fundraiser, it's a way for people to join our cause and to show their way of, you know, people in the community aren't able to do the forensic interviews. We have trained people to do that, but they can support us as an agency, and the foundation's role in that is to make sure that programs like that and the others I mentioned, the shelter, foster care, CASA therapy, that these can continue. So also that people just are aware of these things. So thank you to the listeners who joined us today. Again, I recognize this is a heavy topic, and it's hard to be aware of this, but the fact that you are just means so much.
Well, the pandemic was tough, and we had talked early on in that year of the lack of reporting. But honestly, we locked folks down. This is one of the unintended consequences of something like this. There just weren't a lot of other eyes on people. People were at home, so the ordinary contacts that would have led to reports weren't coming in to us either. And then, like you said, you know, there's also all sorts of emotional and other dynamics within the family when they're all locked in together, which they hadn't been. And then people were losing their jobs and weren't working, so there was added stress that way. So it was 2020 was, I think as we look back, not a great year in many ways. And we're hoping as we come out of this that we will get eyes back on and we can do the interventions that you guys are so good at.
Well, thank you for that. And one of our mottos that we're using with this campaign is where hope begins and child abuse ends. When we're connected with these cases, it is ending child abuse. One program that we've kind of mentioned, but our parent education program is really key to helping parents. It is difficult to be a parent, and there's situations that are hard. That program goes alongside families to deal with some of the difficulties and hopefully prevent, bad things happening. And so that's free. Again, go to childhavennm.org for information about that.
Great. Well, Dana, should we let you off the line? So you, because now we're just gabbing away. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing all of that information with us. That was amazing. And we're so fortunate to have someone like you in our community, for sure.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you. So we'll end on something a little more festive. You had a barrel race this week.
I did.
Really? Are you supposed to be riding horses?
Yeah, I am.
Really?
I am.
I don't think that's been the direction of our context.
Yeah, I think I'm fine. My ankle's fine.
How's your horse?
She's great.
Really?
Yeah.
A little skittish, though, I heard.
Well, really, we're just a really great team, and I didn't realize that I was cueing her. Because I was nervous and I was excited because it was my first barrel race in 20 years. So I cued her a little early and we turned before the barrel.
No problem.
Apparently that's a problem in barrel racing.
It is, yeah. That's breaking the pattern, so we got to know time, but that's okay. Now we know what to do on Sunday because we're going Sunday.
Well, so call in to the department if you want to find out how Nicole is doing on Monday, because there's a better than even chance that she'll have another injury and she'll be banned from horsing for the rest of her life.
I really haven't even told you. I nicked the second barrel with my knee and it's been all bruised up. But that's just part of barrel racing. Like, you just have to be tough.
Just rock up.
Part of it. Yeah. That's totally your style, just ruck up.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, you got me there. Okay. All right, she can barrel race.
Thank you.
We'll start putting out the dates of her next barrel races so everyone can attend and see.
I don't think that's necessary. But once I have a really great run, I'm bringing in the video for Scott to
show. All right.
That's
fair.
That way you can just...
But if you get thrown, I want to see that video too.
Well, hopefully nobody's videoing that. Andrea, thank you so much for coming in.
It was so
wonderful to see you in person.
I know. Thank you so much for letting me come and get out of my house. I really appreciate that.
Well, you guys are doing such great work, and this is such an important topic. Like you said, it's a heavy topic, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be talking about it and confronting it and doing our best for the children in our community and the families. So,
yes.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
For us, it'll be two more weeks, and you'll see us here on the Cop Shop again. And we'll be dressed a little better, maybe.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. I could maybe get a tux. You could maybe wear a ballroom gown. We could pretend we're getting vaccinated.
We could, yeah.
We'll see. Anyway, thank you very much for...
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.